Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Well, take your New Testaments and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. And would you stand with me as I read God's Word to you this morning? Luke, chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. This is one of my favorite stories in all the Gospels. I've been drawn to this passage ever since I was a little kid, and I refer to it quite frequently. There's an interesting truth here that Jesus has for us, for how we are to live as extraordinary followers of Jesus in these days that we're living in. Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Father, what an extraordinary story and episode in the life and ministry of Jesus. And the lesson that is so evident for us here in this passage, may this portion of Scripture truly resonate with us. And obviously the point of the story is that we not be like the 9 who just receive and then go on our way. But the point is that we be like the 1, the exception, who came back and praised God and said, "Thank you for healing me." If our culture needs a message like this, it is now more than ever. In a day and age where we are all so critical of this and that, and nothing ever seems to go right, and we are always finding fault, and we're just living as creatures who nitpick, may we learn from this passage and be children of God who make praise and thanksgiving a lifestyle every day. And all God's people said, amen and amen. I've shared with you before that the last couple of years I've tried to make it a habit of mine to go out of my way and say thank you, especially when people least expect it. And so one of the things I try to do, especially like when we go out to eat to Arby's or McDonald's or Taco Bell or wherever we go, is after a meal, I sometimes go up to the counter and people see me and they're thinking, "Oh no, you know, what's wrong? Did we get his order wrong? Is he not happy?" You know, because they deal with that every single day. And I say, "You know, I just wanted to thank you for lunch today or dinner today." And you should see some of the looks I get on their faces. Like, what in the world is this guy doing? He's thanking us, and often they're just appreciative that someone took the time to thank them for making me a double cheeseburger or whatever they made me, you know? But I have to be honest with you, I haven't always been like that. C.S. Lewis made an interesting observation once. He said, the more mature Christians get, and the older that Christians get, our sins are not as obvious. You know, we don't do the obvious sins of lying and stealing and all those other kinds of things. He says the sins of Christians as they get older are more internal. And he said one of the major sins that we have to be very aware of is having a critical spirit and just being ungrateful and very critical. I remember our first year married, on my birthday, Renee said, I want to make you a nice birthday dinner. Oh, that's very nice. Thank you, Renee. She said, what do you want for your birthday dinner? And I thought long and hard about it. I said, you know, I like manicotti. Would you make me some manicotti? She said, sure enough. She went to the store, got all the ingredients, and made me this really nice dish of manicotti. It was perfectly made, and it hit the spot, and it was so good. Thank you, thank you. Second year we were married, my birthday came along. It's December 9th, by the way. Put that down on your calendars, okay? She said, what do you want for your birthday dinner? I said, you know, that manicotti last year was so good, I want another dish of that. Sure enough, she went to the store, got all the ingredients. I said, thank you, Renee, that was really good. I really appreciate that. Third year, December 9th comes along. She says, John, what do you want for your birthday dinner? I said, well, you know, last 2 years, the manicotti was pretty good. Let's go with manicotti again. She worked hard, slaved in the kitchen, put together this nice dish. I ate it. I said, thanks, Renee. Fourth year, December 9th rolls along. John, what do you want for your birthday dinner? Well, let's go with manicotti again. You know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. She got all the stuff together, made the meal for me. She said, how'd you like the dinner? And I said, well, you know, it was okay. I said, remember 6 months ago we went to that restaurant and they served manicotti? Oh, that was really good, you know, that was really good. Fifth year comes along, December 9th. John, what do you want for your birthday dinner? I said, let's go with manicotti again. And she serves it to me and she says, John, how was it? And I said, well, you know, you overcooked it a little bit and it was a little dry and the edges were kind of burnt. It took me a while, but I began to notice a trend within myself. I was becoming less grateful year after year after year. And that's something I have to continually work on. I have to work on that. Because if we are not careful, we fall into that habit of becoming less grateful and thankful for the things that maybe other people bless us with, or the things that we experience, and certainly the things that God blesses us with, right? And so that's something that I have to work on. That's an issue for me. Maybe it's not an issue for you. Maybe you're just a naturally grateful person and you see roses behind every rock. I don't know. But for me, that's something I have to work hard on. Learning to be grateful and thankful in every situation. The story that Jesus tells here is phenomenal. This is a very fascinating story. Jesus is traveling, and there were these 10 lepers. As you know, leprosy back then was a very contagious disease. If you contracted leprosy, you were considered unclean, you were considered socially outcast. You think quarantine and social distancing is hard today? Try being a leper in the first century. You had to stay at least, at a minimum, 300 feet from other people. And if you were a leper, you could only hang out with other lepers. And it was difficult. And my heart breaks for people today who have to go through quarantine. Just this morning, I got a call from someone who attends our church. And they said, Pastor John, I don't think I should come to church today. I may have been exposed to COVID. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. They had apparently visited family whose co-worker tested positive. They are not experiencing any symptoms, but they said to me, I just probably better play it safe and stay home. And I said, absolutely, stay home. But I could hear the anguish in their voice. They wanted to be in church. They don't want to be quarantined at home. And so these lepers, it was difficult. And in the first century, they were thought to have committed some major sin that they would be inflicted with such a horrible disease. And so here are these 10 men, socially distant from everyone, confined, quarantined, no hope, no self-worth, feeling like nobody cares for them. But they hear that Jesus is coming. At a distance, of course, they shout, Jesus, have pity on us. Have mercy on us. And what does Jesus do? He does what he always does. He gives them instructions. And it was in their obedience that they were healed. Jesus healed them. And you know the rest of the story. 9 of them took off because they were clean and they could now live their life. They could go hang out and do whatever they wanted. They could go bowling. They could finally, you know, hang out with other people, whatever. But then this one, the one solitary former leper, comes back, throws himself at the feet of Jesus, and he thanks him. But that's not what is the most interesting part. The most interesting part was that he was a Samaritan, a pagan, the one that you would least expect to give God thanks, comes back to Jesus and says thank you. And Jesus was astonished by this. This isn't the only time, by the way, a Samaritan does something like this in the Gospels. There are times in the Gospels that Samaritans put us religious people to shame. And Jesus was so astonished by the gratitude of this one solitary Samaritan. So let's look at it from three different perspectives. Let's look at the perspective first of the 9. Why did those 9 not come back? Someone has speculated these 9 reasons, one for each of the 9. Let me just share these with you real quick. One waited to see if the cure was real. One waited to see if the cure would last. One said to himself he'd thank Jesus later. One decided that maybe he'd never even had leprosy in the first place. One said he would have gotten better anyway. One gave glory to the priests instead of the one who healed him. One said, oh well, Jesus really didn't do anything. One said, any rabbi could have done this. And finally, the one said, I was already getting better. That's the perspective of the 9. Whatever their reasonings were, they still should have come back and thanked Jesus. Because we can come up with every excuse in the world to not give credit where credit is due. Let's look at the perspective of Jesus. Jesus was doing simply what Jesus was doing all along. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Jesus came to heal the sick. From Jesus' perspective, he was doing what Jesus was sent to do anyway. And it's a reminder to us that Jesus is accessible and available to meet us, to reach us, to touch us, and heal us, and make us whole if we just come to him and cry out to him and say, Lord, do in my life what only you can do. As Sue mentioned, and I'm glad you did, on Wednesday nights, starting this Wednesday, we are going through this book, More Than a Carpenter. It's been around for a long time, but this one is expanded and revised by Josh McDowell and his son, Sean. I've heard Josh in person, fascinating man who God has used for several decades, who now, towards the end of his career, has an amazing ministry to the Islamic world. And God is using him to reach Muslims for Christ. And it's fascinating how God is using him. So every week we'll discuss the chapter that we're reading. Right now we're reading chapter 1. We're just getting started. And so Wednesday night we'll talk about chapter 1. But here in chapter 1, he talks a little bit about his story. He was disillusioned with Christianity and religion and Jesus Christ, and he was in college, and he was sitting at a table at the student union, and the topic of religion came up, and someone said the name Jesus Christ, and he said, "Jesus Christ? Don't give me that kind of garbage. I'm fed up with religion. I'm fed up with the church. I'm fed up with the Bible." And the person who mentioned the name Jesus said, "I didn't say religion, I said Jesus Christ." And then he says this, "She pointed out something I had never known. Christianity is not a religion. Religion is humans trying to work their way to God through good deeds. Christianity is God coming to men and women through Jesus Christ." And so from Jesus' perspective, in this passage here in Luke 17, Jesus was doing simply what Jesus was doing. He came from heaven to save and heal and make people whole and make people well. And now from the perspective of this one who was healed, the thing that I pick up on his perspective was that it's never too late to come back to Jesus. It's never too late. He had gone with the other 9, just as Jesus had told him to. But something in his mind and in his heart compelled him to go back. Maybe he was raised with parents who taught him just the basics of civility, to say thank you whenever somebody does something nice to you, you know? That's something we've lost in society. We're not even civil to each other anymore in society. There are many sociological reasons for that, but I wish we would become civil as a society again. I wish we would just be nice to people again. I try to make it a habit to open doors for people, especially women. That's an art that's lost. You know, guys used to open doors for ladies a long time ago. And so maybe his parents taught him at a young age to just say thank you when somebody does something like this. Or maybe it was just that the grace of God was so overwhelming in his heart and his life, he just had to go back and praise the one and thank the one who healed him. But from the perspective of this one who was healed, it's never too late to come back to Jesus and say thank you. Thank you. I want for us, and we are, but we can always get better. I want for us to be a people of extraordinary gratitude. For several reasons. Number one, the scriptures tell us to. And number two, it's simply an indication that we are living as God's holy people. When God saves us and restores us and heals us and makes us whole, one of the indicators that we are living a holy life is that we live with extraordinary gratitude. That's why we come to church on Sundays and praise and shout and give thanks to God for His many blessings. So let's be a people who practice daily being grateful and thankful. We can always be critical, and it's so easy to get caught up in that. But let's look for the good that God is doing and be grateful and thankful. The little boy came home from school one day and he said, "Dad, in Spanish class today, I learned how to say please and thank you in Spanish." And his dad said, "Good, now say it in English." Let's be a people who constantly say thank you, thank you, thank you for what God is doing in our lives. I was reading about a church, and their parking lot was too small. And so they needed more parking space, but they didn't have the room for it. And right next to the building of the church was a bank that was closed on Sundays. And so they went over to the bank president and they explained the situation. They said, sir, you know, we need parking space on Sunday. Your bank is closed on Sundays. Do you mind if we use your parking lot to park so our people can attend church? And the bank president said, sure, I see no problem in that. He says, let's put it in writing. I want everything to be clear. And so the bank president said, this church can use the bank parking lot every Sunday for their services 51 weeks out of 52 weeks in the year. But one Sunday a year, you cannot use it. And the people asked him, well, why is that? And he said, I don't ever want you to take for granted what we're doing for you. I want you on that one Sunday to appreciate the fact that we're letting you use our parking lot for free. And what a great lesson. That I think sometimes we take for granted the good things that God does for us, or the good things that other people do for us. In baking manicotti, for example, or the hundred or other things that people do for us, and the millions of things that God does for us on a daily basis, and yet we fall into that rut of being critical instead of being thankful. Let me read to you the story of 12-year-old David. 12-year-old David was born without an immune system. He underwent a bone marrow transplant in order to correct the deficiency. Up to that point, he had spent his entire life in a plastic bubble in order to prevent exposure to common germs, bacteria, and viruses that could kill him. He lived without ever knowing human contact. When asked what he'd like to do if and when released from his protective bubble, he replied, I want to walk barefoot on grass and touch my mother's hand. Oh, how we take for granted. We take for granted the simple things in life because we haven't cultivated a heart and a lifestyle of exceptional gratitude that says, God, thank you for your many blessings day in and day out. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. And to close our service today, I'm going to read this entire chapter to you. Because the entire chapter, and there are other chapters in the Bible, but the entire chapter of 136 is all devoted to giving thanks to the Lord. Because God's people were continually reminded that this must be a holy practice, a part of their worship, a part of their lifestyle. This attitude of gratitude, this mentality of constantly giving thanks. And so for us to be a people who are filled with exceptional gratitude, we have to go back to God's Word and be reminded that this too is how we are to live. And so as I read this chapter to you, either follow along or just let my words just resonate in your ears. As we say to God collectively, thank you for all the things that you've done in our lives in the past. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now in the present, even though things are difficult right now. But thank you, God, for working and moving and being with us here in the here and now. And also thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in the future. Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, say it with me, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and the stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever. And brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the desert, his love endures forever. To the one who remembered us in our low estate, his love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies, his love endures forever. And who gives food to every creature, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.